So just in case we haven't met, my name is Wendy, and I am the co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. My husband, Lee, is in Ireland, and he already spoke this morning because they're 6 hours ahead of us. So he spoke in Dundalk this morning, which I couldn't tell you where that is. I'm a bad wife. It's in Ireland. That's all I know. So it's probably what? So that makes it 11 noon. Oh, almost dinner time there. So he says hello, and he says for you all to listen really closely and smile and nod a lot and amen me. That's what he said. So you guys just have to do what he said because he's in charge, right? Thank you. You guys are awesome. I have to throw that in because he's not here to, like, refute that. So our mission as a church, Mercy Vineyard Church, go ahead, Michael, you put that up there. We are living a passionate mission. Oh, she wants to say it with me. Let's say it together. We're on a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. We say that every Sunday so that we can all get it down deep in our hearts, right? Because that's what we are all about. And everything that we do as a church is geared towards fulfilling that mission. Love, grow, and go. And so today we're kind of going to focus on the going part of that. Going doesn't only have to do with what we do here at church because, I mean, that is part of it. Serving is part of our going. But it's not even just what we do as a church, like on Halloween when we were passing out candy and doing all kinds of fun stuff for the neighborhood, which was awesome, by the way. We had a ton of kids come through. We gave away 240 hot dogs, so we know at least probably that many people came through. Some of us ate more than one hot dog. But we gave away a lot of hot dogs. We gave away that whole barrel full of candy, and everybody had a blast. The place was packed. So it was a lot of fun. Thank you to all that came and participated in that. Because it was a blast. But that's not even all that we do to go, right? That's not the only way. And certainly that's part of it. We do our outreaches. We do our neighborhood outreaches. We do our camp for foster kids. We support the mission in Haiti. Lee's in Ireland. I mean, that's all part of going, right? But as you all know, every single one of us is called to partner with God in the going. Because if we are called disciples of Christ, right, those are basically, that means Christ followers, then we're called to do what he did. Every single one of us. You guys are not exempt. So having a passion, we're going to talk about having a passion for our city, our community. And having that passion for our community isn't always automatic, is it? Or am I the only one? We're busy, right? We're busy people. We're tired people. Things happen in our cities that frustrate us and annoy us. Let's be honest, people can be annoying, right? we end up having like strange encounters, like Lee had last week. If you weren't here, he almost got mugged. So, not here. So you don't have to be afraid to come here. So we have weird things like that happen, or like just really strange things like he and I went to pick up some food at this, we just went in, ordered to pick up, and one of the people behind the counter was, he like stepped off to the side and he had, you know, jeans with rips in them everywhere, which is fine, whatever, but then he had a stapler and he was stapling his pants. Is that a new thing? Dan, is that a thing? I don't know what that is. That wasn't annoying me. I just thought, okay, I don't know what that's about right there. Or like when I was driving to Growth Group this last week, the person in front of me rolled down probably their automatic passenger side window and threw trash out, threw there into somebody's lawn. And I'm like, what? I wanted to like honk, and like, but then you never know what people are going to do. Maybe they'll come back to your car with a tree branch and try to mug you. So you can't just hold on to that and take it. So my point is this, it's not always automatic. to have a passion for the people around you, right? Or to even care. Like, it's just not, it doesn't work that way. But like I said, we know God's not called us to just sit in our churches and bless each other, right? Or even just bless the people around us or the people we like, right? We're called to bring his kingdom into our community. And we're supposed to have a heart for our community, but we're just not always feeling it. We want to care. We know that we should care, but we just don't. And so I think it would be really awesome if there's some way we could just inject it. Like, if there was a passion injection, we could just stick it in our veins, right? That would be the best way. But unfortunately, there's not. So how many of you, I'm curious, are native to the Quad Cities? This is where you grew up. Wow. Holy cow. That's a lot. As some of you know, I'm not from here. I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado. So that is my native home, although it doesn't really feel like home anymore. I haven't lived there in over 23 years, I think. And over the course of our marriage, we have moved over 18 times. That's not all city to city. Some of that's just house to house. But we have lived in, well, we met in Colorado. We've lived in Wisconsin, where Lee is from. We have lived in New Mexico, Connecticut, Ireland, several cities in Illinois, Batavia, if y'all are familiar. We have lived in Rock Island, Moline, Sherrard. So we've kind of gotten around. And for those of you who were born and raised here, you know, this is your home, right? So you kind of feel like there's somewhat of a passion for you. Like if you see things going downhill, you care about that, right? Because this is your home, okay? Coming here was hard for me because we'd moved so much. So we moved here, we moved to the Quad Cities about 13 years ago, and so if you think about how many times we've moved and how long we've been here, so a lot of that moving took place before we moved here. So when we came here, I really felt like I didn't have a hometown anymore. And I thought, well, I'm not putting down roots because you never know. We might leave again. I didn't know anybody here. We didn't know anybody here, so this was all new for us. And we came here to do youth ministry, and that actually made it a little bit easier for us because that's part of ministry, right? Reaching out to people. You care about people. But it wasn't necessarily the area that was, you know, that important to me. I know it sounds terrible, but... And then, to be honest with you, the call to plant this church, the call came into my heart before the passion for this area came into my heart. Does that make sense? So God said, I want you to plant a church, and I want it to be in this area. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, and Lee too. And then Lee had this experience, and he'll tell you about it next week, so I'm not going to tell you about it. And I was like, okay, God, give me the feels, because I want to feel something. I want to feel passion, right? And it wasn't that I didn't care about the Quad Cities. Obviously, we care. I wouldn't have said yes to the call to plant a church. But I didn't really have any dreams about... I had dreams for the church, but I didn't have dreams for the community at large. And so that was something that came later. So what if you could impact your city in a way that didn't take more of your time? Didn't make you feel tired? Sounds good, doesn't it? But in a way, you could impact your community in a way that was life-giving and exciting for you? Let's pray, and then we'll talk about that. I think there's a way we can do that. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just be in your presence. We thank you, God, that you never call us to do something that you don't give us the tools to do. And God, I thank you that you don't just send us out blind. But Father, we do choose to trust you this morning. And God, we ask that you would deposit things in our hearts. And the things that you've already deposited, we ask that you would bring those back to life. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start by looking at Ephesians 2. We're going to look at a few verses in this chapter. We're going to start with verses 4 and 5. And they say this, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved." Okay, so that scripture right there tells us that God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. So the first thing that we need to understand is that God rescued you to make you alive and to bring life with you everywhere you go. So it wasn't that God just rescued you from death. He rescued you to bring life. Okay? He didn't just rescue you from something. He rescued you into something. And that's very important to know, because God's dream for the Quad City area is to draw every family and every individual into his hope, into his kingdom, right? Would you agree with me on that? So we have life in him, and as a result, we bring that life everywhere with us. But we do so much of a better job at that if we are aware that that is in us, that we can exude that everywhere we go. We do this, we're supposed to bring this life not only to our jobs and to our businesses, but to our art, to our music, to everything that we do. His life is in it, because he is in us, right? So we talked about this last week. We talked about how his spirit goes with us everywhere. We talked about, because we're talking about fear of failure, in Isaiah 41, this says that he's with us all the time, all the time, all the time. So everywhere we go and whatever we're doing, whether it's spiritual or not, he's there. And he can empower that with his spirit. I think that's pretty darn cool. Next, you need to look at the gifts that you already possess and the dreams you already have. So here's the cool thing about our dreams now that we're alive in Christ. Our dreams are God-given. He puts those in us. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, Paul is praying. He says, "So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do." I like the way the NIV words that last part says, "that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." So God has wired you and me with desires and dreams that express his goodness. Paul is praying for God to empower those dreams. Those are the things that he's already deposited on the inside of us, just because we're alive in him. So what are your passions? What are the things that charge you? What are the things that make you feel alive? God put those in you. Like, that's so cool to think. You guys aren't excited about that. You're supposed to be amening because Lee said so. Thank you. I'm just going to have Michael make a slide so that y'all, oh, yes, amen. Because, I'm sorry, but I think that's awesome. When that truth, like, came alive in me, it's not like, okay, I got to figure out what God wants me to do. No. He puts that in us. Like, those things are in us. And the things that charge you, he made you that way. And that's what's so fantastic about it. And he put those in you so that you could affect the culture around you, so you could change the culture around you. So maybe you have a heart for, I talked about looking at the gifts you possess and then the passions that you have. So maybe you have a heart for children who are ill, and you think it might be nice to do something for kids who are in the hospital. So if you're good at making people laugh, you don't have to go learn to play guitar so that you can go minister to the kids in the hospital, right? That would be silly. Just take what you already can do and use it, right? But marry those things together. Use what you have. And that's my main point today. It's this: living out our God-given dreams changes our community. So when we belong to God, the Spirit of God lives in us, our dreams are inspired by Him. And so often we think, no, that's just me. If the dream isn't like, quote unquote, spiritual, if the ideas aren't, quote unquote, spiritual, we think, that's just me. That's just what I want. But if you look at Ephesians 2, let's go back in Ephesians 2, and if you look at verse 6, it says this, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ," okay, and get this part, "he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Okay, so I want you to just get a picture of that mentally. Jesus is sitting up in the heavenly realms and you're sitting next to him. So your view, your perspective is with his. Do you see that? So you know how when you go up in an airplane and everything looks different, right? Your whole perspective changes, and sometimes the weather above the clouds is different than the weather below the clouds. So it could be raining down here with us folk, but if you're up in the airplane above the clouds, it could be sunny. And that's the perspective that we have in sitting with Jesus. We're sitting with him, and we're invited to partner with him. And so it's like you're dreaming with him. Jesus, God, is having dreams over the Quad City area. He has dreams for this area, and we get to dream with him. And our perspective is his perspective. So it's almost like having a black and white film become color before your eyes. It changes everything. Mark 11:24 says that whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you have them. So my point is this, and this is in your notes, as you pray, his desires become your desires. Because you have that same perspective, as you're spending time with him, your desires become the same. And so it takes the guesswork out of it, doesn't it? Isn't that like a relief to know that you don't have to work and just travail to figure out what God wants? It's in your heart already. It's already there. And that's a fantastic thing about God. There's one thing, and this is kind of an aside, but it was so cool to me that I wanted to share it with you because I'd never seen this before. In Luke chapter 1, verse 3, Luke is right. He says, "Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you." Okay, so think about what those words that he said. Now, Luke was a doctor, right? And he wrote the gospel. So what does he say there? Does he say, "God told me to write this account for you"? He said, "I have decided to write this account for you." And I'm not saying that it's not God inspired. It is God inspired. Every book, every part of the Word of God is inspired by him. But Luke was a doctor. And he decided to do something to affect the people around him because he could. He'd been an eyewitness. He had people around him that had been eyewitnesses. He could write this accurate account. He knew he could do it, and he changed history because of it. So I think that's amazing. And that's because the Spirit of God was inside of him. And the Spirit of God is inside of us. So your God-given dream might be to be a dancer. Your God-given dream might be to be a doctor, like Luke. Maybe your dream is just to change the atmosphere where you work. Maybe your dream is to open a homeless shelter, or maybe you want to become an intercessor. Maybe you want to enter politics. Please do. If that's your God-given dream. We need people with God-given dreams in politics, don't we? We're not going to talk about that this morning. We're going to forget all about it. We're in a special bubble right here. So let's look down in verse 10, and we're still in Ephesians 2, so let's go down to verse 10, and it says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece, and you may have heard it in another version. It says workmanship. And that word comes, the original Greek word there was translated in English as poem. It's like saying, you are God's poem, which I think is really cool. And so it's like God shows his excellence, his creativity through you and me. And he put in each one of us a unique deposit. So what's inside of me isn't inside of Bethany, or I mean, some of the same things, but we have different giftings because God created us uniquely with different creative abilities, right? And so we show his excellence through the things that we do. The pastor from the Causeway Vineyard says it like this. He's in the UK. He said that God's goal is not uniformity, it's creativity. I love that. I love that. We're not saved by works, but we are his workmanship, and we show excellence, his excellence, through what we do. Christians really should be the most creative people in the world, because we come from, I mean, we have the spirit of the Creator inside of us. So really, we should be the ones like, I can't even think of the right words right now, but we should be the ones that change the culture, because of the creativity that he's put on the inside of us. And so you might think, I'm not creative. I'm not talking about arts and crafts here, because that is not my forte either. I'm talking about there's so many different ways that creativity can be expressed. We often think like it's drama, it's art, it's music, it's dance. But to be creative is to take what is in the heart and mind of God and unleash it to the world. That's what it means to be creative. And you don't have the excuse. You can't say, I'm not creative. You are, because you are made in the image of God, and he is creative. So therefore, so are you. So am I. I never thought of myself as a creative person. In fact, I use that as an excuse a lot. I'm not creative. I'm not creative. I'm not creative. And that's a lie. We are all creative. And you know, what's awesome is that God is already at work in the community. So all we have to do, like I said, is get his perspective and start working with him. Just join him in what he's already doing. He's waiting for us to partner with him. He's already dreaming over our cities. He's got dreams for Moline. He's got dreams for Rock Island. He's got dreams for Mercy Vineyard. And he's put those things in us as well. We just don't always know it yet. So I have a couple of examples for you, and if I say your name, I'm sorry if I embarrass you. Too bad. because I want you to understand what I'm talking about here and the way that God works. Our very own Dan has a gift for videography, right? Okay, but what you may not know is he doesn't just make our cute little announcement videos or our cool man on the street videos. He also does wedding videos. He does music videos. He takes amazing pictures. And he does all that outside of this church. But who put that on the inside of him? God did. I mean, God gifted him in that way. And not only gifted him, so I don't know. But I don't think he goes to weddings and is kind of like, oh, I got to go do my job. I think he has a lot of fun. I'm just saying, because the stuff that comes out of it looks like he had a lot of fun, right? And so often we think, that can't be what God gave me to do, because it's too much fun. I'm enjoying myself. But that's not true. That's not true. God put that desire in his heart, and he's walking in it. And I believe it makes a difference in our community, don't you? I mean, to have somebody who has the Spirit of God in him, making music videos, making wedding videos, and impacting the world around him. Plus, he's super funny, so yeah. That's a gift of God, right? So another example would be, because that you might think, well, that's kind of artistic. You know, I'm not an artist, okay? Well, think about Patty. Patty is a business owner. Yes, she twists balloons, and that's artistic too. But she's a business owner, and she does that for the glory of God, right? God's excellence shines through her as she does her work, right? And she's a light in the middle of Rock Island. And if you are passing by Cool Beans, you should go inside her shop and say hi to Patty. She'd be excited to see you. So, Bethany works at the public library. And you know what? She loves it. She loves working at the library. And what's amazing about it is we think, well, that's not a spiritual thing to do. You know, she could have gone into ministry. She loves to pray. Why isn't she doing full-time ministry? Because she's doing her ministry at the library. She's a light at the library. So when people come, now the people that she works with, they know that if they need prayer, they know where to go, because Bethany will pray for them. And she's seen people healed right there at the library. Even the patrons in between the shelves, quietly praying. She's praying for them when they ask, because she is being a light to her community in that way. I think it's amazing. So what do you think that God is dreaming over the Quad City area? I mean, when you think about God's dreams for Moline, Rock Island, Davenport, Bettendorf, what do you see? You could tell me. What do you see? Well, I'll tell you what I see. I'll get you started. I see foster kids finding hope. I see the church being the church. What do you see? You guys are thinking way too hard. Way too hard. It's inside you, remember? What do you see? So you see people coming back. You see people coming back to their first love. That's God's dream too. What else? You guys didn't think you'd have to participate today. Yeah. Yeah, so he sees political stability. Hey, maybe we see money for the state of Illinois. Jobs, yeah, don't we see jobs? I mean, seriously, though, don't you think God dreams that? Don't you think God dreams for good politics in the state of Illinois? So that people can be helped, don't you think? Don't you think God sees homeless people finding shelter? Don't you think he sees marriages being reconciled? These are his dreams. These are his dreams for our area, right? And they're on. And really, all you have to do is listen to what's in your heart, because it was probably fathered by him. It was fathered by him, and it's in there for a reason. It's not a mystical thing. It's very practical. And he just draws us in to partner with him. So for me, music has always been a passion of mine since, like, fourth grade. I began playing the flute and I all through school. And so God deposited that desire and that passion in me for music. And for me, he chose to channel it through worship. But that doesn't mean that's the case for every musician. Maybe God has, if you're a musician, maybe he has you playing in an orchestra or a band, right? Maybe he has you doing, I know lots of people who play in bands in the bars, and they're Christ followers. Why? Because that's what God has given, put in them to do, right? One of my gifts, and this is, again, I asked Lee to tell me, give me some examples, because obviously I do ministry, so it's hard for me to give personal examples without it looking like, you know, well, now we got to get involved in church ministry. No, you don't, but... So I asked Lee for some of these. He told me one of my gifts is organization and administration, and the way that God chose to channel that is through the church. And Lee told me to say this. You think that that's not a big deal, but he told me to say that. I'm serious. He really did tell me to say this, that this church would not still be running if it weren't for those gifts. because you because he is up in the clouds with Jesus, and he's just yelling down to me what needs to be done, and I make sure it happens. So that's how it works, right? I mean, that's how God chose a channel. But maybe I know God uses Karen's gifts for organization and administration at her job, at Friendship Manor. So that it may not always be channeled that way. Those two things happen to be church-related, but one of my biggest passions, if you hadn't guessed, is giving hope to foster kids. So I want to tell you this story because it has nothing to do with Mercy Vineyard, per se, okay? We did not start camp here because we thought, this is a good thing to do for our church plant when we need to do this, okay? It wasn't, and I said, well, I'm available, I'll make it happen. That wasn't why we did it. 25 years ago, before I even got married, I had this just deposit, I can't call it anything else, in my heart. And at first I thought that God was saying that I would someday adopt a child. Of course, I'm not. That could still happen. But that's what I heard. So I was like, okay, well, someday maybe I'll adopt a child. And when, you know, Lee and I talked about it when we got married, and we said, yeah, that could be a someday thing. And then as time went on, probably, I want to say about 10 years ago, I started hearing more about foster children in my heart. Just God was just speaking to me about that. I didn't know anything about foster care, but God was just speaking to me. I didn't know anybody that did foster care. I didn't know anything about it. All I could say is that God put it in my heart. And so I thought, okay, so someday maybe we'll be foster parents. And we started looking into it. What is that going to entail and that kind of thing? But we just didn't feel like time to go on that yet. And then the idea of camp, this guy that Lee used to go to church with years and years and years ago, is involved with Royal Family Kids Camp, came and told Lee about it, and I went to director training, and it was like, I cannot even explain to you that moment. It was like God said, this is it. So 25 years later, that dream that was deposited in my heart that I never let go of, I'm like, I don't know really what he wants to do, but whatever it was, it was still there. And I came home and I told Lee, I said, because before I went to director training, I said, I don't know if our church is ready for something this big yet. This is too big. And if I have to be in charge of it, I'm going to freak out. And I came home and I said, I was made to do this. Made to do this. I still feel that way. And I get really excited when I talk about camp, and I know people laugh at me, and I don't care because it is in my heart. It's my heartbeat. It is my heartbeat. And I saw a couple of the kids 2 weeks ago, and I felt like my heart exploded. I was so excited to see them. I hadn't seen them since camp. And they give me this big hug, and I was like, oh, I could try not to cry, try not to cry, try not to cry. And I didn't know that God could put so much, I don't even know what to say, just passion in my heart for one single thing. And so when I do things, all things camp, do I love every single task that I have to do for camp? No. But when I'm doing it, I feel alive. It doesn't matter how hard it is. I feel alive. And I've had people say, oh, you know, maybe you should start looking at who would be the director next because you got a lot on your plate. And I'm like, this is one thing that is not going off my plate right now. I'm telling you that. Like, unless God says, take it off. This is my heart, guys. And I love, love, love Mercy Vineyard. And you guys are my heart as well. And I'm so glad that those things can be connected, because that makes it so much more fun and exciting, because I get to do camp with you guys. And that makes it so much better. But do you see how, like, what are the things that light you up? That's what lights me up. That's what gets me excited. I could talk about it all day. You guys are like, all right, come on. Bring it down a little. No, no. Because there's something in you that does that. And what do we do so often? This is what I did. Before I went to director training, I went, just stifle that, Wendy. You're a little crazy right now. You know, you just push it down. You think, that can't be God. It is. It is. I heard this story this morning. Daryl shared about a guy he got to help last night who was struggling backing out with this trailer attached, and it was 9 o'clock at night, and the guy was going to be stuck there forever if Daryl didn't go over. And what's so cool about that is if I had been there and saw that guy stuck, God be with you. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But Daryl has the tools and the skills to help this guy. It was right in his path. And what did he do? He used the gifts God gave him and his passion to help other people and went and helped somebody. That's how we change our community. Are you getting it? Say yes. You're supposed to be nodding yes and amen. Okay. So don't wait for everything to be perfect. Whatever that is, that desire, that dream that he's deposited in you, don't wait for everything to be perfect. Start moving in the direction. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe that doesn't mean changing your job. Maybe that doesn't mean changing what you're doing for a living, but maybe it means integrating something in that that you didn't think of before. You know, I think about Andy, whose dream was to be in law enforcement for as long as I've known him. And what did he do? Just take step by step by step. He never gave up. And now he's living that dream, and he is impacting his community right in the prison. I think that's amazing. Don't you think that's amazing? And we all have that opportunity. We all have that ability. And it charges him. It gets him excited to be a part of that. And that's what God does. He puts that inside of us. And when we wait for things to be just right, I mean, if I had waited until this church had enough money in the bank to do camp before I announced it, we never would have done it. But we are halfway to our goal this year already. My goal is to raise $38,000 this year because I want to do more. And we're almost halfway there, you guys. So when we step, I know, isn't that amazing? So when we step out and we start doing what God calls us to do and what he's put in our hearts, just the desire of your heart, that's from him. Isn't that amazing? So what have you dreamed of doing? Because whatever you've dreamed of doing, dream it by his Spirit. And like that word in that prayer in Thessalonians, God will put power behind it. That's what Paul was praying. God will put power behind those things that God, the desires and the dreams that he's put in your heart, he'll give you power behind it. So dream it. What have you dreamed of doing? Maybe you've dreamed of opening a business, being a photographer. Maybe you've dreamed of being an author. Whatever that is, if you've pushed it down, or maybe you haven't, but I just want you to write it down. Write it down, whatever that dream is. Because writing it down makes a difference. Maybe it's just to change your culture at work. Maybe it's to do what Bethany does and be the person everybody comes to for prayer at work. That's an amazing dream, right? So I want to pray Paul's prayer over your dreams. But first, I want to pray for you if you feel like you can't answer that question. I don't know what my dreams are. I don't know what I want. I've been there. God, I don't know what I want. Even if somebody asked me, well, what could you do if you could do anything? I don't know. We've all been there, I think. But I want to pray that God's dreams will either be birthed in you or that they'll come alive in you. Because he's got them for you. So let's just take some time in his presence. Let's just let's listen for just a few minutes. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We thank you that because you live on the inside of us, our dreams are from you. They are God-given. And we get to do the things that we love because you put those desires in our hearts. And God, I pray for anybody here this morning who feels like they don't know what that dream is. Maybe there's one there and they just haven't recognized it yet. Or maybe, well, God, you have deposited in all of us desires and dreams. So I pray that you would open our eyes to see what you are doing. Help us not to over-spiritualize things. Help us to see how you work in every area of our lives. We had a word this morning from the prayer team that maybe somebody feels a sense of guilt for working, but maybe we weren't sure if it was just working in general or working at the job that you have right now. You feel some sense of guilt, and God wants to bring freedom from that this morning. Also felt like some of you may be afraid to dream your own dream due to a rejection, a fear of rejection or a fear of failure. Maybe you've stifled that because you're afraid that people will think you're crazy, or maybe they just won't partner with you, or maybe you're just afraid you're going to fail. So if either of those apply to you, I encourage you to get prayer this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and pray for you right now as well. Father, I just ask that you would show us how our dreams are given by you, how you put them in our hearts. God, I pray that you would bring freedom from any guilt or condemnation in Jesus' name, and that you would set us free to do what you've put in our hearts to do. And because of that, we can reach people for your kingdom. God, I pray that you would enable each person here to live a life worthy of your call. I pray that you would give us the power to accomplish all the good things that their faith prompts them to do. That you would give us the power to bring to fruition every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. God, that as we step out in our dreams, as we step out in the desires of our hearts that you have given to us, that your power would come in behind it. Just like you've done with camp, just like you've done in so many ways through this church, God, do it in each individual life. Help us to dream big dreams for you. Help us to dream your dreams, God. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father.